36 years old, I heard the message and it transformed my life. And so, of course, I want that for everyone because I know what it'll do in their life.
The blessing of the Lord makes you rich. Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland teaches you how to sow and reap in God's economy. Practice heaven's economics on a daily basis, and you'll see his blessings increase in your life.
Let's open our Bibles to Luke, the 5th chapter, please. And it came to pass that as the people were pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, that's the Sea of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets, plural. Are you seeing that now? They're washing their nets. Now, this has been so misunderstood over the years. And this is going to teach us something tonight in heaven's economics. And this ties right in then as we go into this evening's message, and you'll see it. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. They were washing their nets. This is a key thing here. Pay really, really, really careful attention. Simon answering said unto him, Master or Rabbi, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, the first thing he did, well, I won't get him, not yet. I'll comment on it later. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net broke. They beckoned their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. Only one net broke. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. He couldn't fall down to his feet. He knee deep in fish. And he didn't catch a one of them. Depart from me. I am a sinful man. Now listen. He knew better than that. He had seen Jesus just the day before do miracles in his house and heal his wife of a deadly fever. Well, yeah, but he don't know anything about fishing, Don. No, he just created them. That's all. Every fish in the Galilee was up around those boats. All of them. What fish is going to say, no, Jesus, not today. No, all of them. All the fish in the Galilee were there. They could have emptied the lake if they'd had enough nets. And Jesus standing there smiling. He knew what he'd done. And he's laughing at him. Amen. Boy, Peter wasn't laughing. It hurt him. He's a Jew. He knows better. He knows better than to bring a bad sacrifice. A blemished animal. What's the difference in a blemished animal and a blemished old rotten net that's been laying around? You don't want to have to rewash all those nets. That's hard work. Well, we go out there and throw this one around a few times and come back in and say, well, you know, Jesus, that's just the way it is in the daytime on this lake, you know. Now, he was never so disobedient again. Because Jesus told him to do something absolutely impossible. He came home and he said, boss, they want to know if we're supposed to pay taxes. He said, get your fishing pole. Didn't say a thing in the world about bait. Just a hook. He said, okay. Right down that lake he went, boy. He wasn't missing again. Amen. And Jesus said, this is big now. Take the first fish, not a fish. First fish. Get the money out of his mouth. First indicates, don't quit fishing just because you got excited about a fish with money in his mouth.
Amen. Amen.
Fill the boat up again, boy. I mean, hey, there's lunch and supper and whatever else we need. Now, back in the 50s, in El Paso, Texas, Brother Hagin was down on the, he'd stepped off the platform, and he turned around and jumped up on the platform. And just as he did, his foot was about to come down on a brand new tape recorder. He was about to land on this woman's tape recorder, and he dodged and fell and knocked his elbow out of joint and really injured it. And he went to the hospital, and the doctor put it all back. And they kept him in the hospital overnight, just to observe it. And he was just lying there in his hospital room, and no pain. He just lined up there with that thing in a, you know. So, and Aretha had just left. And he heard somebody coming down the hall. Heard their shoes on the hospital floor, you know, hard floor. And the door to his room was open about 6 to 8 inches. And he realized that whoever it was coming in his room. And he said he just turned and looked, and the door opened, and there was a man's foot in a Roman sandal, pushed the door open, came in, and he looked up, and it was Jesus in an open vision. I'm next, Lord. Oh, God. He came in, walked over, got the chair that Miss Aretha had been in, scooted it up to the bed, and sat down there and talked to him about the prophet's ministry and talked to him about a number of other things for over an hour and a half. Now, here's one of the, there are two things I wanted to say to you that Jesus told Brother Hagin in that appearance. He said, if you will call on me, when someone is to be operated on and to have surgery done, call on me. I'll get involved in it. And he said, I will speed up the healing until the doctors will be amazed at it. And then he said this, I am not opposed to my children being rich. I'm opposed to them being covetous. He said, now listen, heaven's economics. If any of my children, and if you will listen to me and do what I tell you to do, I will make you rich. I'll do it, he said. But now listen to that. You have to listen. You have to hear. Hallelujah. Right down to, Lord, what is my offering tonight? What should I be doing in order to be accurate at this? You have to practice it all the time. You have to practice the presence of God all the time. All the time. Talk to the Lord all the time. Someone asked Smith Wigglesworth, said, how long do you pray? Oh, he said, at the most 15, 20 minutes. What? Yeah, but he said, I don't usually go 15, 20 minutes without praying. You know, and there's nothing wrong with taking long periods of time, because there are times when you need to be doing that. Particularly when you're seeking the wisdom of God. Now, it's a constant practicing of his presence. Lord, what do you think about that? Yeah, okay. You know, Lord, I've driven to work this same route every day. What about going a different way today? Oh, Brother Copeland, I don't see any use in that. I know it because you can't see much. I don't know any other way. Maybe you better find out another way. That's right. Now, when you practice the presence of God on a daily basis, and the trade center gets hit, you're going to be the one that hears his voice. Amen. The other people die. Are you listening? Yes. Dan Stratton, pastor in New York City, most of his people work in the World Trade Center. And he had been teaching on hearing the voice of God. And teaching 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 and teaching. He just ground on it and ground on it and ground on it. Not one of his people were hurt. Not one of them. Not one injury in that whole church. And it's not a small church. And most of his people work in the World Trade Center. They heard the voice of God. Heard the voice of God, man. Isn't that good? Yes. Hallelujah. Heard his voice. Heard that voice. One man was about to walk in the door, and all he heard was, run! And he just took off running and ducked down in the subway, just as the thing. You practice that. You learn it. You walk in it. You listen to it all the time. You're listening all the time. What do I do? What do I do in this offering? Help me, Lord. All the time. All the time. You quit listening to stuff on the radio, and you you put your CDs in there. Amen. You ought to listen to one good CD a day. I mean it. Hallelujah. Or just load your phone up. Get the BVOVN app. And you're walking around with those earbuds in your ear, and you know, you got that look on your face, and they think, whoo, I wonder what song they're listening to. Faith's coming. Thank you, Lord. Can you see it? This is so big. It's big in healing. It's big in evangelism. It's big in everything. But financially, this is where the problems are. This is where the problem of hearing is. I mean, the whole world's got, everybody in the whole world got a different idea of what you're supposed to be doing for them. And 99% of it's wrong. Amen. In sowing and reaping, and everybody does it, 100% of the living human race does it every hour of every day. Words are seeds. Actions are seeds. You can't get out, you can't get away from the laws that govern this planet. It is a word created, word upheld environment. Every human being on this earth lives under that system. Amen. And in that system. And you've got two different kinds of financial system in the earth. You can't change it. You can't get out from under it. But you can change the words by which you live.
Amen. Amen.
The devil can't change it. And God won't.
Amen.
The devil stuck with it. He stuck with it. Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I don't say anything on my own. I only do what I see my Father do. I can do nothing of myself. That's reassuring, isn't it? The sower sows the word. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Because Jesus said, it's the Father that dwelleth within me. He does the work. What work? Whatever you've been saying. Huh? So the sower sows the word. Jesus is right there. He's the high priest of our confession. Now, think about it. The sower sows the word. These are they sown on good ground who hear the word and receive it. Now, what's happening? You hear it and you begin to believe it and you begin to say it. And the Father then is licensed to do the work. Amen. The sower sows the word. Satan comes immediately and says, no, no. You hear what they've been saying about? No, no. Now, don't pay no attention here. Why? Because he knows if he can get you or me to hear his word and believe it and begin to say it, now he is licensed to do the work.
My name's David Welsh and I'm the Executive Director of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Australia, Asia Pacific. I love what I do. I love the partners. I love my staff. I love the people at Kenneth Copeland. And I love what the message is done in my life. I think that's You know, what the Lord's done through the message, through Brother Copeland, has transformed my life, my family's life. Everything about us has changed. And so who wouldn't want to be serving and assigned in that environment? I just love it. 20 years of bliss. The thing that motivates me is there's still people like me that haven't heard the message that we preach and about the goodness of God and how to operate and use their faith. And so it's easy to get out of bed, because that's what it did for me. You know, at 36 years old, I heard the message and it transformed my life. And so, of course, I want that for everyone, because I know what it'll do in their life. So, yeah, every time we, you know, do anything, send out magazines, you know, pray for people, get the broadcast into people's lives, I know it's going to transform their life. I'm absolutely certain if they give it any attention at all, it will be a transforming moment for the individual and families and extended families too. A lot of people take the Bible as another kind of opinion, but I think when you acknowledge it as truth, which is really a decision, then I think you see the transformative part of the word and putting your faith and appropriating the promises. That's what makes it so critical, the faith message, because it's faith that pleases God. But the reason it pleases him is because it's our way of appropriating everything he has promised us, and he wants us to have it. And so that's why it pleases him, because it does us good. And it's done me good, and it's done my family good. So it transforms. Over 20 years, I think every year there's a new development or revelation on the value of partnership. So it just gets deeper and deeper. And of course, I think our understanding of it changes, but it only changes for those who are committed. You know, if you quit too early, you don't get to go to the next stage. And so for me, it just gets more and more powerful. And really, it's partnership. Yes, we're partnering with a ministry, but really it's a whole lot deeper than that. We're actually partnering with Jesus in our calling to the ministry. And this is where he's called us to. And so I think when you understand that, partnership has a greater value than just, I'm going to send you some money and support your work. It's a calling. And it's a committed calling, because he sent you there for long term. And so I feel I've benefited from that personally within my family, because I think staying connected in partnership, it's more than just an exchange of finances. It's actually an exchange of heart to heart. And so what you value, you sow into, but you also get the same measure back. And I'm sure Jesus said that, whatever measure you use to here, that's how it'll be measured back to you. So really we're the ones determining the level of blessing in everything, and including partnership. So what attention and value we put in that is the value he will give back to us in terms of revelations on healing, prosperity, all areas of all the promises of God are appropriated by the value we give them. You know, sometimes you just need to tap into wisdom, you know, because you've got a situation, you're not sure what to do. Well, being connected in partnership, valuing what you're hearing, receiving, what you're giving into, that's where the answers and the wisdom will come from when you are in a spot. And so I think keeping connected, that partnership connection, is really helping to sustain your life. And you didn't just end up there. God called us to be there because he knew what we would need and what we still need. And so I think partnership's the thing that keeps that constantly living, and the two-way part of partnership just keeps flowing. And so I can see that it's partnership is not just something that someone made up. It's a biblical principle that God put in place. And every year I become more and more convinced of the benefits of that, because I experience it in my own life and in my family.
The Word of God has the power to totally transform your life. And you've seen how David shared how that exact thing happened to him. Now, listen, we determine the level of the blessing of the Lord that we're walking in. It's based on your commitment to His Word, your attention to that you give to His Word, to Him, and the value that you place on His Word. Now, today on the broadcast is Offering Day, and I want to read this to you from the book of Galatians, chapter 6. It says in verse 6, "Let him who is taught the Word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." You know, every time we receive an offering, this is an opportunity for you to put value on the things that you've heard. This is an opportunity for you to go before the Lord and say, "How do I respond to the truth of the Word that I've heard through the teaching and the preaching of this ministry?" And then listen. Listen as He leads you. Find out if you've got an assignment to stand alongside Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and preach the gospel, the Word of God, to people all over the world. And you say, "Well, how do I do that?" You do it through your partnership. You do it through faith. You do it through prayer, the commitment to stand in faith and pray over this ministry and the outreach of this ministry. And you do it by being faithful to sow financially into it. Find out, like I said, does God have a part for you to play in this? Because your partnership is powerful. When you're a partner with this ministry, you are a part of preaching the gospel all over the world. You're a part of every broadcast. You are a part of every magazine that's sent out. You're a part of every conference, of every service that's preached. You're a part of sending the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ to people from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. Father, we receive the giving of the people today. We thank you for it, and we call them blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen, before we go, I want to remind you that the Southwest Believers Convention is coming up July 22nd through the 27th right here in Fort Worth, Texas. Go to kcm.org for service times, speakers, schedules, and children and youth services. All the information you need about this meeting and all of the outreaches of Kenneth Copeland Ministries are right there at kcm.org. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you again next time. Until then, remember that God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. If you prefer, you can also go to kcm.org/give. Or call 800-600-7395. This is the time for miracles. Text to Give is available in the U.S. only.
Hi, we're Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons, and we want to invite you to join us for 2 weeks of broadcast right here on the Believer's Voice of Victory. We're talking about living a legacy. And that word has been so important to us, legacy, the legacy of faith. The greatest legacy that anybody could leave is a legacy of faith. And that's what we've been given, and our parents and grandparents.
You won't want to miss these special broadcasts.